And amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless you. Lincoln, you should have jumped up here and joined with him. God bless you, buddy. Good to see him back with us. 1 Samuel 23, I want you to look again. Two statements in this text in David's life and career that are meant by God, designed by God, intended by God, to remind all of us here of how believers in this world go about living victorious Christian lives. Both of these statements are in verse 14, where at the end of the verse, you'll notice it says this, "And Saul sought him, sought David every day." By the way, can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine the most powerful man in all the land, a war hero, the man with the most money, seeking to take your life as his number one priority every single day? Like a prey pursued by a starving lion, David never had a moment of rest, never had a real moment of peace from King Saul's wrath. In verse 14, you'll notice it says that David is hiding. He's hiding in the wilderness of Ziph. Well, of course he's hiding. And you know, it's while he's hiding that David happens to write some of his most beloved psalms. Notice the introduction to Psalm 54. It says, "A psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us?" Well, that's nice. Not only is he being pursued, but he's being snitched on and betrayed. Snitches may get stitches in lion ditches, but these Ziphims are going to take their chances. "And Saul sought him every day." This is the harsh reality of life in a broken world. And cancer sought her every day, and debt sought them every day, and temptation sought them every day, and disappointment sought him every day, and pain sought her every day. And remember, by the way, David was the anointed, innocent, rightful king of Israel this time, so that he didn't earn all of this daily hunting, but he still found himself in the midst of it. Which brings us to the second statement. Let's look at it again. Verse 14, "And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand." By the way, notice the subtle but very significant emphasis by the Holy Spirit here. We would say, "But God delivered David out of Saul's hand." That would be the natural reading, but the emphasis in the word "not" reminds us that David was always in God's hand and never in Saul's hand. That God delivered him not into the hand of Saul. It's emphasis by inversion. And again, you have these two statements about David's life that God places in his eternal word so that you and I today can be victorious as well and write our own psalms of praise to our God. Let's pray. Father, please help us today on this Lord's Day morning to hear what you have to say to each and every one of us. Thank you again for your word, for your presence, and for the Holy Spirit who will lead us and guide us into all truth. Please help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel 23 again, I want you to notice in verse 14 the fuller context of David's situation. You see there it says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and he remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph." Now again, what exactly happens here in the wilderness of Ziph, and why? Why is David there, and why is he now in danger? Look at verse 19. "Then came up the Ziphites," same as the Ziphims, "then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, doth not David," he came to Saul, they came to Saul, and they said, "doth not David hide himself with us in the strongholds, in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jessamine?" I mean, come on, they gave all the info. How detailed is this? I mean, it's like, hey, Saul, David is hiding on 134 Main Street, upstairs, behind the bookshelf, by, you know, the encyclopedia, he's wearing a purple hoodie, whatever. The Ziphites are snitches. And here is David running for his life, hiding from Saul in the wilderness. And those mountains, the Ziphites, turn him in. So that, you know what, in so many ways, David cannot seem to buy a break. And what's interesting is that it's right here in this spot of betrayal and despair that the Holy Spirit includes a very familiar word in that 54th Psalm we referred to a moment ago that was written, as the introduction said, while he's hiding. Notice what it says in verse 3. He says, "For strangers," there's those Ziphims, "are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them." Selah. Selah. Now, wait a minute. Most everyone here today understands what this word Selah means. It means to stop. It means to stop and rest. Musically, it is the equivalent of a period at the end of a sentence. And of course, it is very fitting that at this point in the psalm, David does this because he is pretty much out of breath with his weariness of running and wandering and hiding. "Save me," he cries out in Psalm 54:1. "Oppressors," he says in verse 3, "are seeking my life and soul." Folks, this is his life. This is his existence, hiding and running and oppressed and afraid. It was, as you can imagine, a discouraging and disheartening time. And he is the man after God's own heart. Wait a minute. If the Selah is the period in his life, and if that period in Psalm 54 tells us how David was feeling himself at that time, I want you to consider another punctuation mark that tells us not about David's feelings, but about God's favor. It's not an exclamation point. It's not a period. It's not a dash, and it's not a parenthesis. This may be the most encouraging, sweetest punctuation mark in all of Scripture. You know, there are 14 of these in the English language. 14 punctuation marks, 114 if you count all the new emojis. But all the official 14 punctuation marks are given to help clarify a narrative or a clause, right? But it's the comma. It is the comma in language and in life that may be the most blessed one of all. You know why? Look at it again, verse 14, "And Saul sought him every day," comma. "And Saul sought him every day." Period? No. Exclamation point? Oh, no. This is a comma. And you will notice, beloved, that the comma often in the Bible leads to those two glorious words of truth in verse 14, "And Saul sought him every day, comma, but God," but God. Now think about, folks, look, think about all of the times in the Word of God where those two words make all the difference. Genesis 15:20, "But as for ye, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Ephesians 2:3, "We were by nature the children of wrath, but God, who is rich in mercy." Jacob says to Rachel in Genesis 31:7, "Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." Genesis 48:21, "And Israel said to Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you." Psalm 73:26, "My heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart forever." Acts 7, verse 9, "The patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." Philippians 2:27, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him." In other words, look, the comma is a reminder that it's bad. Sometimes. It was bad when it says that Saul sought him every day. Folks, that was rough, and that was real. David went to bed every night, and he woke up every morning. Around the clock, he was hunted. He was hated. He was oppressed, and as we see on Wednesday nights in the months ahead, he was often very afraid. But you'll notice that that's not where God left him. And if you are his child on this Lord's Day morning, that is not where God leaves you. In fact, the comma is a reminder this morning of three things about the Christian life. Yes, there is always something that comes after a comma. That's why it's there. What are those things in the spiritual realm, and what were they for David? Number one, there's always something more that God wants to do. Look at verse 15, would you? And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel." Wow. You know, Jonathan was the crown prince. This was going to be his throne. As the crown prince, when he came and declared to David, "Thou shalt be king over Israel," this was no political guess on his part. This wasn't even a personal wish on his own part. This was humble Jonathan simply acknowledging God's will and God's word. And by encouraging David in these moments to fear not, he was telling him to be patient, that there's something more that God will do for you after all of this. You simply have to wait, David. And so it is, please hear me, beloved, in this room, that as God's people, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, always we are called to wait. That comma is a reminder that always we, as God's people, are called to patience. Why? Because always there is something more that God wants to do. Wednesday night, I mentioned the many long months and years, really, of battling with our county, building and zoning officials and so forth. And it reminded me, though I didn't mention it Wednesday night, one of my pastor friends, I remember, called me right in the middle of it, almost towards the end, and he said, "Hey, Brother Jim, just want to know how you're doing with the county commissioners and the building program." And I said, "Well, I'm doing weight training." Of course, that's nothing new to him. Everybody can see I do weight training. Actually, what he said was, "What?" I said, "I'm in weight training, W-A-I-T. And you know, as believers who are waiting, as the Bible says, for all of the promises of God, this is the kind of training all of us need. All of our lives, learning to wait on God. The good news is that always God has this little comma. It's not a period before our waiting, no matter what trouble we are in. In other words, there's something more that God wants to do for you. So that whatever you are waiting to get out of and whatever you are waiting for, it's worth the wait. The words mentioned in Scripture are the three words in due season. Let us not be weary in due season, for we shall reap if we faint not. And yes, a lot of times the waiting isn't in or by some romantic villa overlooking the slopes of Tuscany. David is not waiting there. He's waiting in a wilderness, and this is not the Disney Wilderness Lodge either. Ziph was adjacent to the Dead Sea. It was desolate. It was dead. Some of you here who have traveled to the Holy Land, if you've gone to that region, no doubt your guide has told you this is the area where David was waiting and Saul was hiding, hunting for him, and he was in hiding. And many times people told me when I stood there, I thought, nobody can live in this place. How can anybody survive out in this desert? Pastor, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait through what I'm going through. Look, Saul sought him every day. He did. But there is just a comma there for David, and it's a reminder that there's something more that God wants to do for him and through him. Until then, he's got to be patient too. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." Look, nobody likes to wait. I hate waiting. I'm a little ADD, to be honest with you. I read the other day that it costs Americans $17 billion a year from running red lights. I may have contributed to that once. I don't run red lights. I run yellow lights. When I was at the DMV and that question came up, what's a yellow light mean? I wrote down, floor it. I don't like to wait any more than you do. When Andy, I remember he was a little baby. He was the most passive, compliant, happy little infant you could ever find. Until he was hungry. Because when baby Andy got hungry, it was the sixth seal of the book of Revelation. And lo, there was a great noise and an earthquake, and he cried with a loud voice, and the sun became black as sackcloth as Andy screamed, G'day! You know why? Because babies are not patient. Human beings are not patient. They don't get hungry at 3 in the morning or at night in their cribs and say, you know, mommy's busy right now. I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I can wait until Cana or Caleb or Colton and Hika get a good night's sleep, and I'll just wait, let them sleep. After they've had breakfast, I'll request my food. Patience is learned. It's learned for a people of faith. And it is best learned by applying the pages of this book that we're studying and reading right now, applying the truths of this book to the circumstances of our lives. Trusting God in that way. Including the commas that teach and remind us that always there's something more that God wants to do. But number 2, you'll also notice that there's something more that God wants to say. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm at. God wants to speak to you. Look at verse 14, would you? The last part, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Well, here he is. David is still in the wilderness, still hated, still hunted every day. He's been running. Now he's hiding and running. So that, you know what he needs, this man of God? He needs a word from the Lord. He needs some encouragement. He needs instruction. David needs a portion of fresh bread so that he can go on after the man as God's own heart. And that's precisely what he gets. Look at verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not. For the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Note this carefully, folks. This was the third time. This is the third time Jonathan and David come together and make a covenant with God as their witness. In this case, it is also the last time David would never see his friend again in this world. And if ever there was a time, and if ever there was a place that David needed a word from the Lord, if ever he needed God to come and speak to his soul, it was right now. And you can be sure that it is not an accident that before Jonathan is called home to heaven, God uses him one more time to speak those two familiar words in the Bible, fear not. Fear not, David. And you can be absolutely sure of this. Whatever is happening in your life, whatever happens at work, to your business, whatever happens to our beloved country, as far as God's people are concerned, the Father always has something more to say to his people. Hey, folks, it's a very good thing, a wonderful thing, that God has a period in the last verse of the last book of the Bible, and the last thing in the Bible is a period, because God has spoken, but there's only a comma. There's only a comma in what God is saying to you and me through his word. So that God is never finished speaking to his people. And sometimes he uses a Jonathan. You've heard me tell, I read the Gulag Archipelago in high school, and of the many stories, this is the one I remember and have told a few times. When Solzhenitsyn was in that gulag, beaten and starved and driven to slave labor, it was well known amongst the prisoners there that whenever the suffering became too much, all you had to do was strike a guard, and you would be instantly killed and the misery would end. It's like suicide by cop. And at one point, Alexander Solzhenitsyn had enough. He found himself at that place determined to end it all by hitting a guard. And he said as he readied himself with a shovel, one of the elderly men there that was imprisoned for his faith in Christ, he looked at Solzhenitsyn with his eyes, gave him a stern look, and picked up a stick and simply made a cross in the sand. And then he quickly wiped it away. Solzhenitsyn said that one act of faith reminded him of Scripture, Isaiah, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Beloved, look, whatever troubles and dark times David found himself in the midst of, God always had something more to say to him. And yes, this morning and tomorrow and the day after, our God, your God, has something more to say to you. Last week when I mentioned our drive-in services during that COVID time, 5 years ago this week, someone showed me one of our order of services that we would pass out, all the guys that were playing brass and whatnot, May 24th, 2020. And I looked at it, and I started reading, and I thought, you know, here I would read these instructions from the back of a pickup truck until they built this great platform. Stay in your vehicle. If you can't hear, roll your windows down and turn the AC off. Your radio station is FM 106.5. Smooth, relax. And then their announcements were, offering envelopes are in the bulletins, reminder of the online giving through the website and the app. We're Baptists, I got to put that in there, I guess. For the evening service, listen to the History of the Church series on the app or the website. That was our Sunday night service at home. Remember to watch a junior church video and the teen video on YouTube. At the end of the service, I'll dismiss you by rows, starting in the back. How many remember this? You go. You can honk only when I ask, are you glad you're saved? That was because of the neighbors. I looked at this and I thought, you know, I never want our young people to go through COVID again. I never want our business owners or any business owners to go through COVID again. Certainly not the elderly. But you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me that the whole time, that whole period of months after months, that God had a comma there. And that God had a lot of things to say to me, and he did. There were a lot of things God said to me during and after that time that I would have never gotten in a classroom. Some of those things God brought from here into here. And they're still in here. And I can tell you, I'm thankful for that. The same thing happened with Hurricane Jean, Francis, Wilma, with Louise's brain cancer, 9/11, and every other wilderness of Ziff we ever find ourselves in. God is the one who puts the comma there and reminds us, I still have something to say to you. I'm not finished yet. Which brings us to the last thing. Number one, God has something more to do. Number two, God has something more to say. And then number three, God has something more to give. Verse 14, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and Saul sought him every day. But God delivered David not into Saul's hand. Now, let me ask you a question. When God did not allow David to fall in the hands of Saul, was God giving mercy to David or Saul? Both. By not allowing Saul to lift his hand against God's anointed, God was giving Saul a measure of mercy through that added time wherein Saul could repent. By the way, you do realize that this king Saul thought that he was right and that God's hand of blessing was guiding him to go kill David. You don't believe that? Look at verse 7. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand. What? That's what Saul thought. Look at verse 21. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, having compassion on me. Look, I want you to think about those kinds of verses. The next time you hear some, quote, reverend, or some politician invoking the name of God or having to claim God's blessings when they go about and oppose the true works of God. The only reason Saul got favored, thought that God favored him, was because he had the power. Like a lot of people with great wealth and position, they are blinded to the truth, and that was Saul. But guess what? Because of this comma, because there's something more to come in verse 14, Saul had a little more time and a little more space to humble himself and repent. God had more to give to David, and he did. But God also had more to give to Saul, and he does for some of you in this room. Can I show you something before we close in chapter 24? Turn ahead, would you? Verse 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words? See, why does Saul think that he was, because he was listening to men's words, not God's word. David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. That was a lie. Verse 10, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Go down to verse 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking. He gave this long speech. Remember, he cut off a piece of his coat. And he says, I'm proving to you, I could have killed you. And it came to pass when David made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, is this thy voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and he wept. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Finally, verse 20. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. And he has David swear to him in the next verse that he will not destroy his line, his lineage. And David keeps that promise. You know, I look at Saul, and I realize that we serve a long-suffering and merciful God. The song says, he giveth more grace. God always has more mercy to give. And if you're here this morning, hear me carefully. If you are here this morning or watching by live stream, and you're still breathing, and you can still think and hear, you're still alive, God is giving you more time. And in many cases, more time to get saved. Time to listen and receive the gift of Jesus, God's Son. You're going to put that off? Saul did after this text, and his ending was horrid. Others, God is giving more time. You're here, you're breathing, you can think. God is giving you more time. There's a comma there, not a period yet. God is giving you more time to rededicate yourself to his purpose and to his complete will. And yes, beloved, if right now your life is in the first clause of this last sentence of verse 14, which was most of David's life up until and for a while after this point, if you find yourself ever living under the words, and Saul sought him every day, whatever your Saul is, if every day you have some oppression, some fear, whatever that is, remember, there's a comma. It's not a period. And that comma is followed by the words, but God. But God has something more than just that. King David had a difficult time on the way to finally sitting on the throne by God's will. In fact, that entire journey from chapter 18 on is one of suffering and rejection. And of course, it's a reminder that our own Lord Jesus, the Son of David, must suffer many things as he did on his way to Calvary and to triumph. And just like David, our Lord remembered the promise of the Father and that comma that was there in his own earthly life. When it says in Acts 13:29, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And God's people said, our heads are bowed, please, for a moment. Eyes are closed. I'm not sure what your need is this morning. I'm not sure if you're in the wilderness of Ziph, you just came out of it, or unbeknown to you, you're about to go into it. But I know that there's a comma in your life. God has something more to do for you, through you. God has something more to say to you. I don't know what your need is, but I know absolutely that the Spirit of God knows. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Blaylock, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer by the grace of God. My name's written in heaven, and I know it. But the Lord has spoken to me today. I needed the truth of this text. Either you need to learn to wait, listen to what God is trying to tell you, do what God is commanding you to do, whatever it is. Pastor Blaylock, I'm saved today, but I needed this message with heads bowed, eyes closed. Who would say that? Would you lift your hands throughout the room as God's people and amen and praise God for all of it? Amen. And amen. Some of you here, as I mentioned a moment ago in the message, you're still alive. You're still breathing. As of right now, there's not a period at the end of your story. There's a comma. And God is giving you more time to get saved. But that time will run out just like it ran out for Saul. It will run out. And God's grace and mercy compels you to say, yes, I'm no longer waiting. We often, you hear this question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, you may die today. There may be a period there. And then it's too late for all of eternity. Forever. Forever.